Good morning. I'm Bill Johns, the oldest son of Earl and Grace Johns, who most of you have known for many years here at West Valley Presbyterian Church. Kim asked me to share something this morning about my dad on Veterans Day Sunday. My dad went to be with the Lord about a year and a half ago, only a few weeks before his 93rd birthday. He lived a long and fulfilling life and was an inspiration to our family, his friends, this church, and including most of you. And we all miss him greatly. Well, I myself just returned from a 5-week motorhome trip across the country, visiting several national parks, the Great Smoky Mountains, the southern half of the Blue Ridge Parkway, many other places. And everywhere that I spoke to my mom on email or by phone, she said, "Oh, yes, isn't that beautiful? We've seen that. We hiked to that lookout point. We camped there." Indeed, they had a wonderful time traveling about the country through most of their life and even up into his 90s in their up to 3 motorhomes and several trailers before that. For my dad, family was most important. And he was the proud patriarch of our large extended family for over 468 years. He was a man of deep faith, and he shared his faith willingly with his family, the Bible study group, which he led for almost 35 years here, and with many others. My dad was a member of the Greatest Generation. He was one of those young farm boys, so typical of the time, who eagerly signed up for duty in the military in World War II. A time unprecedented in history, when evil forces were combining efforts across the globe, from both sides of the globe. Our country's awareness of that was galvanized by the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. The country desperately needed young men to sign up for military service, and many, like my dad, did so willingly. So after an intense series of training, including military indoctrination, basic flight school, bomber orientation, and then training to prepare him for flight and combat in this Martin B-26 Marauder, Dad soon found himself assigned to a new crew joining the 386 Bomb Group in southern England. And because he was younger than most of the pilots in his training, he was selected to be a co-pilot on this crew. Those duties included monitoring the gauges, adjusting prop and throttle settings, watching for the enemy, being in position to take over at any time, or the pilot to be incapacitated in combat or need his help in any way. The pilot on Dad's crew was named George Jones, not related to the same one that we know from country music fame, but George had been training with Dad at Lubbock, Texas, and the two knew each other well. They hit it off quite well, and they made a great pair in the B-26. From southern England, those large bomber formations crossed daily over the Channel. They flew over targets in France, Belgium, and Holland. They were a medium bomber. The heavier ones, like the B-17, went further. These worked more in the closer-in countries to the Channel and had many targets of logistic nature and other railways and airfields and things like that, which were heavily defended by the Germans. Dad recalled that on his first mission, he was surprised to see the flak bursts coming up and wondered, "Why are they shooting at me? I was a good boy who went to Sunday school." Well, faced with the grim realities of war, he grew up fast. Losses were frequent, and friends and acquaintances were among those who would not return from the war. Dad went on to fly 68 combat missions in the B-26, including 2 over the Normandy beaches on D-Day. He continued with a career in the Air Force as a pilot after a short exodus from the Army Air Corps after World War II and flew various aircraft in other combat situations, including missions supporting the Cold War and the Vietnam War. He had many close encounters, all of which reinforced his conviction that God had brought him through safely for a purpose, and which formed the foundation for his strong Christian faith. I know that's the case because he talked about this a lot, especially during his later years when he was more willing to talk about these wartime experiences. One of his mementos was this little box in which he saved the pieces of shrapnel, which actually ended up in the cockpit of the B-26, one of which struck his boot and knocked it clear off the rudder pedal. Well, he had many stories. By the way, this box, among other very interesting memorabilia from our veterans, will be on display in the narthex, so be sure to pass through and look at that beautiful display. We have many veterans among us today. So this was a mission over France when enemy defenses were heavy. George, the pilot, used evasive tactics, changing his altitude and direction whenever possible. But due to the times and the technology then, they had to run in for a straight and level run approaching the target so the bombardier could be accurate. Made them a predictable target for the gunners. Well, on this day, his plane was hit several times coming into that target. Coming off the run, a shell actually struck and lodged in the right engine. The result should have spelled disaster. I mean, those shells were made to explode on contact if they did not explode at the altitude next to the airplane and cause it to result in the damage from the shrapnel. Once they hit it, they were supposed to blow up. By all expectations, it should have blown the right wing directly off, which would have been the end for that crew. Instead, the shell just lodged there. The engine kept running. Of course, oil was smoking, pouring out the back. George told Dad, "Keep your eye on that engine. We need its power as long as we can to get out of harm's way." A crippled bomber like that, dropping behind the formation, would have been a clear target for the gunners or enemy aircraft. So they did, and they got successfully out over the water, and Dad was watching that engine, saw the flames begin to lick George now. So they feathered the prop, shut down the engine, and of course began losing altitude now on one engine with a heavy airplane. But the power had been just enough from that damaged engine before they had to shut it down to get them safely back across and over land. Low to the ground and looking for a place to land, George spotted a British Spitfire base right near the shore, and he brought the plane in on the belly with no one hurt. So that was one of his stories. There are many more. Stories like that I've captured from my dad in this book that I put together, 30 Years of Aviation Experience for Earl Johnson. That's also back there. If any of you are interested to read this, just speak to my mom, and we have a couple copies, and we can loan them out. Well, my dad frequently told us stories like this one and would relate them to his Christian faith. His life story indeed shows that God had a greater purpose, and my dad exemplified that to all who knew him. So there are several others, many others in our congregation who have served as veterans as well, some of them among the World War II vets. Obviously, time is taking its toll, and there are fewer and fewer of those who are still around for their stories to be told. We are forever indebted to their service for our country. The other generations more recently have stepped up to the call as well and gone in combat to places such as Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan. The list goes on. It's important that the rest of us remember their sacrifices, and I'd like at this time for all of our veterans who are present to please stand up and be honored. Now, as the choir sings, will you please meditate and reflect on the sacrifices made for us by the men and women in our armed services throughout history, so that we have the privilege to worship God in a free country. And let us also reflect upon the great sacrifice by our Lord and Savior in freeing us from our sin and offering us the wonderful gift of His grace for our salvation.